Oh, yeah. That's fire, all right. Fire on the bio, snow on the roof, and welcome back to podcast number 6. It's 50 minutes with Carl Zahn, Mike Clark, and riding shotgun Dominic Zahn.
Usual cast of characters today, right?
Yeah, Dom is stepping into...
He keeps showing up. That's awesome.
Dom is determined to make all the same mistakes I did, and so he's starting radio at a young age. Dom, what's happening?
Nothing.
Got let out of school early today, huh, bud?
Yeah, a little bit. About 9 o'clock.
Here in our hometown of Milford, New Hampshire, where Dominic's a senior, and we've had 14, 15 feet of snow in the last 6 or 7 days. They evacuated the high school this morning, folks, when a teacher noticed the skylight was sagging inward. And it was then that people stopped and paused and thought, has anyone looked at the roof? It's a flat roof. As Mike pointed out, the building was built in, what, 68 or something?
Yeah, it's a pretty old school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think some of it was even there before that.
I know. I went to it. I'm sure you did too, Carl.
Yes, I did. Yeah. So I hear they had a pretty orderly evacuation.
Yeah, it wasn't bad for the, I guess you could say, lack of preparation.
Well, yeah. I mean, they practiced it, though, right? That's what they...
Well, we had practiced... So we practice a lockdown if someone would ever come into the school, but we...
We do that, too, in Manchester. Yeah. A lot.
We have an evacuation for...
For cave-in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Usually we go out in the bleachers. Well, we have an evacuation for other emergencies. We go out and sit in the bleachers, but you can't do that when there's 6 feet of snow on the football
field.
You know, it's a
really, really difficult move is the combination lockdown cave-in evacuation.
Wow, that's a new one.
Where I think you actually have to get on your back and kind of slide like a reverse belly flop.
Yeah, I think we'd go back to the 50s and do duck and cover.
Duck and cover. That's
remember that?
Well, Dominic doesn't in case remember of a, Mike, for
no,
Christ's
sakes. No, I'm talking to you, Carl.
Oh, okay. Well, I remember.
There's no nuclear threat anymore, except from Iran.
In our day, Don, we used to practice duck and cover in case the Russians...
I've seen the old videos.
You've seen the old black and white videos. Yeah. Probably, that was probably actually Mike. And,
it probably was.
Yeah, yeah. What a BS story that was, huh? Just get under your desk and you'll be fine.
Fuck that. I want the bomb to land on my head if
that's
going to happen.
I remember seeing the first video clips of Hiroshima and thinking... Geez, it doesn't seem like my desk. looking at Nagasaki in hindsight,
my desk wasn't going to do shit there.
It doesn't seem like my little wooden desk would have been quite enough protection from a nuclear attack.
Well, they got to prepare you to do something, right?
So, I'll tell you what. In my old age, in the rapidly approaching the winter of my life.
Winter is coming, as they say.
I find myself very relieved when something like that doesn't turn into a nightmare. Like you, then instead you get the call that the roof just collapsed at the high school and you know that two of your kids are there.
Kind of scary.
Well, one of them. The other one would have been just getting out of bed because he's always late.
So you get a little early vacation. What's the big deal, right?
Yeah. Hey, it's Carl Zahn, Mike Clark, Dominic Zahn, or Dom, if you want to call him that.
Actually, like Dom.
You can't call him anything because we don't have a call-in line. But we're going to have one. And you can also contact us at my website, Carl, K-A-R-L, from NH.com. You can just click on the contact us thing there if you've got any ideas for the podcast. We had another ton of response this week.
A whole ton?
Well, actually, I don't know if it qualifies. It was the same guy that commented on it. I think after the first week.
Well, that's okay. He's coming back for more.
Sent another even more congratulatory thing. So, Johnny L., if you're listening, I appreciate it. So far, you're on a very, very short fan list.
Exclusive. We'll call it exclusive.
Since we only got like 2 or 3 listeners, maybe we should do a mailing list or something. Or
we probably could.
It's kind of a listener contest, right?
It's not going to cost us much. Yeah.
First person of the 3 listeners to call in gets a free whatever.
Yeah. Free whatever?
Yeah, free whatever.
You can knit him a sweater or something.
Hey, any sports talk this week, Dom? That's kind of your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I think the big thing this week, not only the big thing, but the thing that I found most interesting was that Chandler Jones of the New England Patriots said that he wants to fight his brother for charity. And the thing is, his brother is John Bones Jones, probably the best UFC fighter in the world right now.
Doesn't he have a brother that plays pro football too?
Yeah, I think they have a very athletic family.
Didn't they play against each other in the Super Bowl? No, in the championship game or something.
Yeah, I think so. But I get the whole brotherly love thing. You got a brother 1 year younger than I do, but I don't think I'd fight my brother if he was a UFC martial arts expert.
I did sound for a UFC company like for the past couple of years. It's called Global Fight League. I would never, ever, ever go to one of those things unless I was working it. It's so violent, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these guys get kicked in the head like full blown. Like, it's crazy.
Is that the mixed martial arts?
Ultimate Fighting Championship.
You know, I did some work as an extra on Here Comes the Boom at Kevin James.
Yeah, that's the company that I worked for.
Really?
That was their octagon and stuff. It's called Global Fight League.
So it was pretty cool because I was in for about a week, I guess, at the Auditorium Lowell where they filmed the what was the closing fight scene in the movie. And they had a couple of those guys, like the real guys.
Yeah, they're crazy dudes.
Yeah, they're super crazy dudes. And then they had some guy like with an eye patch. I mean, this guy really looked badass, but he was obviously some fighting MMA coach or something. Like, he was showing these guys all the moves to do while they're shooting this thing. But the funny thing was, the guy who's fighting Kevin James in this last scene, who's like this big Russian, I mean, you look at the guy and you think, oh my God, just scares the bejesus out of you. But he came over and like was talking to all the extras and stuff. And he's like this soft-spoken, almost shy, you know, super polite, like the nicest guy in the world.
And funny thing about that is, it's not always the big guys that are the most dangerous in that sport. You know, like Hoyce Gracie, do you remember him?
Yeah, he's one
of the original. He actually made UFC popular. I think he's a Brazilian dude.
And he
would take on guys five times, you know,
his size. If you remember in that movie, Kevin James won the last fight.
Was that his last film he did, I hope?
It was pretty interesting seeing a big movie production like that.
Yeah, it's a lot that goes into it, huh?
There's a lot that goes into it.
Oh, yeah, people don't even know.
I was amazed. Yeah, it was a pretty interesting experience.
Yeah, but it's funny. You know, I used to sit at the media table with all the video producers and stuff like that. I was producing the audio. And the guys would come up to the media table after their fight to get their DVD or put their name down for it. And they would stand there talking to us like nothing happened. And their face was all split open and like taped together. And it was like, dude, I would be in the hospital for 6 months if someone kicked me in the face like that.
Rehab.
Are you kidding me? It's crazy.
I've told both these boys, you know, I had some downtime during the winter. And so a friend of mine, Johnny Peasy, in fact, who books, there are a whole bunch of guys. I guess whenever Kevin James does a Boston movie, he tries to have some of his old Boston pals. So they tapped Lenny Clark, Richard Minervini.
Right.
And so this guy called me and said, hey, do you want to be an extra in this film? I said, yeah, I'm already signed up with Boston Casting. So at my age, to go down and work like 15, 16-hour days for $8 an hour, it didn't make a lot of sense financially.
It's more about the experience,
but
though.
But for a kid, like I told these kids,
sure,
sign up on Boston Casting, man. You go down and make an Adam Sandler movie. I'd rather hang out on the Cape doing an Adam Sandler movie. They feed you breakfast and lunch. You make decent money. And it's super, super interesting.
Yeah, you have an insight into the production film, which is crazy complicated.
Seeing a big-time Hollywood movie made like that was unbelievable. Like, you can't believe what goes into what ultimately was probably 2.5 minutes of film in the movie.
Yeah.
And they were there 2 weeks, you know.
It's true.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Do you follow baseball at all, Dom?
Yeah, I follow baseball.
I got a good laugh. I was coming back from Manchester today, and I was listening to sports radio, and they were talking about the new baseball rules this year. They're going to try to expedite the game, like get the game to go faster.
Yeah.
Hilarious. You know, like stupid stuff like you can't step out of the batter's box unless you hit the ball or you're dodging a pitch. It, you know, like all these stupid rules. And if you break the rules, they fine you $500.
Oh.
Yeah. That's like fining us like 10 cents.
Yeah, baseball is one of those sports where the top level players get $300 million contracts.
Yeah, $500, what?
I think
I break the rules every day.
There are some people who make like over $80,000 for just a game. Here's $500 because you stepped out of the box.
Yeah, it's hilarious, you know, and all kinds of rules. But get this. they're not enforcing it during spring training, and they're not actually going to start doing it until May. So they're going to phase the players into it.
Yeah.
You know, what? What? You know, it's crazy.
Is it too early to start talking spring training?
Or? No, they pitchers, catchers started today.
You guys all start getting into that stuff now,
I'm
right?
not a big, huge baseball fan, but I got a kick out of that. You know, the $500 fine, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's almost like in football, they tried the extra point from 35 yards to make it more interesting.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's just an extra point, you know.
Yeah,
we just
want to
see it get kicked through.
But at least when they fine guys in the NFL, it's 10 grand, 20 grand, you know. It makes some sort of impact. Well, I guess not to those guys, but, you know.
I mean... Yeah, maybe not to Ndamukong Suh, who's been fined at least, you know,
he's
12
a times
he's
now. He's a beast, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And he scares me.
You know, and I honestly, I enjoy the way he plays. He plays it physical. He's emotional about it.
Played.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
What are you looking at me for?
I don't know. I'm waiting for a football input over there.
Oh,
me
you're
and
not
Dom
gonna get
just...
a football input. You guys, this is the sports part of our show.
I know.
You know, I'm letting you guys run with it.
Me and Dom can just sit here and talk for hours.
Yeah,
on
I'm noticing that. I feel, you know, I feel like a guest on my own show here, for crying out loud.
Well, you are. We're taking over today. How's
no, it's
that?
Fine. It's letting me go through some show prep from 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago and anything else that I might throw in today.
Yeah, is that a newspaper from last month?
Here's how out of it I am. I had a whole bunch of stuff printed out, and then I left it at my office.
Hey, you remember? I remembered your glasses today, though.
Yeah, I brought my glasses and forgot all the shit that I was supposed to read with the glasses. But
you
that's
know,
all right. I'm totally into the podcast. You can tell by...
Carl, they work better if you put them on.
Yeah, well, some of the stuff, Mike, the print's pretty big. I don't need them.
Oh, okay. All right.
And the other thing is I have this fear. Is this even real that if you start using reading glasses, your eyes get even more lazy? Or is that something in my head?
I don't know. You know, there could be something to that. I don't know.
That's one of my.
I can't see a damn thing without mine, so
that,
I have
that's
to.
One of my fears is that if I start using glasses, my eyes will get even more lazy.
Yeah, and you're too vain to wear them, right?
Well, and the other thing is, I've noticed with other parts of my body that, you know, if you start making it easier.
What do you mean?
Well, I guess. Maybe through the looking glass on that one. Maybe I've said too much.
Yeah. you usually do.
You know what people never talk about, though? I mean, of course, you see all the medications and stuff like that for parts of your body that aren't working right as you get older. But, you know, I never hear anybody talk about the parts of your body that get better, more powerful.
For instance?
Saliva gland. I don't know if this has happened with you or not, but this is an honest-to-God true story. I was, last summer one time, pulling up to a toll booth. And I had a powdered donut on my passenger seat that I was waiting to eat. And, of course, being a polite kind of New Hampshire guy I am, I didn't want to pull up to the toll booth with, like, powdered sugar all over my lips and nose. You know what I mean?
They would think you're driving and doing coke
well,
or something.
Well, yeah, you look like Al Pacino pulling
right,
up to the toll booth.
Scarface,
you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. But, moreover, I just thought, yeah, it's not polite to pull up with food all over your face. But I was thinking about the donut. So I pulled up to the toll booth, handed a guy my money. He said, you know, thank you, have a good day or whatever. And I went to say thank you, and I squirted this guy in the eye with my saliva gland. I'm not kidding you. 8 feet. It's got to be at least 8 feet, right?
I don't even have a comment for that.
I know. Well, I don't either. Of course, it's a true story. You can't make this stuff up. But the guy had no idea, Mike, what had happened. It wasn't like he thought, oh, my God, this guy just spit in my eye or
he just
squirted
me.
He just knew that he got hit in his eye with fluid, but I'm sure he didn't know where it came from, and I just went speeding away.
It just amazes me that you were worried about the toll booth keepers worrying about your etiquette, because I'm sure they're the picture of etiquette.
Well, yeah, it just goes to show you. The other thing is you shouldn't be thinking about food and opening your mouth at the same time. But
probably
hasn't
not.
Everyone had that happen at least once where you open your mouth and – your saliva gland activated and
That would be a big no for me.
Really?
No.
That's never happened to you?
No.
You've had it. Have you
had
it happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
So what's news this week, Carl? You must have
what
something.
What are you saying? You don't want to spend the whole show talking
about
my saliva,
gland? As fascinating as it is.
Well, I'm thinking we should get some kind of musical jingle for our weekly segment, Who Lost Their Head?
Okay. All right.
And of course, this week.
Yeah, I don't
know. Something. I'm sure we'll think of something.
I'll work on something. Maybe I'll grab a piece of a Justin Bieber song.
So this week, of course, as we make the slow segue from sports to politics, this week, of course, 21 Christians, Coptic Christians, beheaded by ISIS over there, which begs the question: When the fuck are we going to kick ass over there?
Well, you know, it's funny you brought that up because I was watching a bunch of clips this morning. People are really starting to get Obama's case about, like, ignoring the whole situation. That, like, he wants no part of it for some reason.
Yeah, he wants no part of it. And you know what? You know what is? I think 6 months ago I would have thought this sentiment was crazy. But now when people tell me this, I actually have to consider it that he's one of them. And by one of them, I don't mean he's a terrorist or an ICE. No. But I do mean, I think he sympathizes more with them than he does with Christians and Jews.
Well, did you see Giuliani came out? Possible? Did you see what Giuliani said?
Oh, today? Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of agree with him.
Yeah, I have to agree with him.
He doesn't like our Constitution. He doesn't like what we stand for. The first thing he did is...
Yeah, he doesn't like the country,
the,
man.
The apologizing tour, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The first thing he did?
The big apology tour.
What?
That was the big... Before he... On his campaign.
I know.
Across Europe, apologizing for America, a big, stupid, dopey country we are. And
yeah.
Sticking our
we
hands
do everything wrong.
And, so
yeah.
It has got to the point where it's almost like a Saturday Night Live skit. It's so ridiculous how far they'll go not to say, and then they had this big summit in Europe, the violent extremism, but he will not say
Islamic.
Muslim or yeah. Islam or anything in front of it.
Right, exactly.
He won't do
it. Why, though?
Well, I think that's part of what's starting to piss people off, you know, because...
It's crazy.
And something has to be done. And, you know, the amazing thing is, like, they'll point to the air attacks, the drone attacks. And I'm telling you, have you read, like, some of these ISIS airstrikes? You know how you're in war, like Vietnam and all that?
Right.
Every night on the news, here's how many dead, here's how many enemies dead, and we invaded here. And
yeah.
They kind of give you the war score sheet.
Sure.
But these days, these ISIS airstrike reports, they read more like an insurance claim for a flooded basement. You know?
What do you mean?
Well, they'd say, like, today's airstrikes against ISIS destroyed 4 cars, 2 skateboards, a unicycle, and a radio flyer wagon, all used by ISIS. You know, and that, I think...
That's a way to stop them.
Yeah, and I go, you know, we scrambled F-18s for this. This is supposed to be some kind of victory. But, you know, you look at the map. They have, like, the map now of ISIS taking over these territories. They're on the move, man, right?
It's scary. It really is.
It's pretty scary, and I have to say, watching O'Reilly last night...
They're losing Iraq, you know, city by city.
Well, the scary thing is it's coming here. Like O'Reilly said last night, and you know it's coming. And as he said, again, because that's what 9/11 was, but I think it's coming here in a different way. Not necessarily something big like 9/11 was, but, you know, ISIS and these terrorists, they've always been happy with a dozen here, a dozen there, you know, a mall shooting here, a mall shooting there, or whatever. And, yeah, I actually kind of think if we don't do something that it is coming here.
Who's the guy that was commenting? He was on with, I forget the guy's name, Devlin or... Jim, I forget the guy's name. Anyway, he was paralleling it to Hitler and how Chamberlain ignored what Hitler was doing in Europe at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just ignore, don't worry about him. It's not going to be a big threat. He'll go away, you know? It's a similar thing.
It's funny because usually you make any kind of Holocaust parallels or references to that and people think you're wacky, but there's a lot of similarities. I mean, there are.
Hey, you know, history... You know, nothing really changes.
Not really. Well, that's the truth.
Yeah.
But it's pretty frightening, man. And to see 21 people bow down with those orange jumpsuits on and they line them up. And then there was another report that they burned to death 45 Iraqi soldiers. Now, these were kind of freedom fighter guys that previously trained by us. Locked them in the back of a big truck and burned them to death. So that one they're still waiting to substantiate. But as someone on Fox News pointed out, the Army said they're reviewing the video, And that's how these things usually go. There's a video, it gets reviewed by the authorities or the military, and then we find out about it a week or two later. So,
even more of a concern, and I think you know they keep bringing this up too, is the way they're recruiting young people, even American people, you know what I mean? That people, you know, looking for something to join or a cause, anti-government, anti-capitalism.
Yeah, America has always been rife with those people and probably more so now. You know, you look at Jonestown and, you know, any cult like that, there's always people that sign up. What was the one in California, Heaven's Gate, where the guy, they all bought brand new sneakers and black pants and they were supposed to be picked up by the mothership?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they all committed suicide,
They all committed suicide together.
There's a group I don't want to join. Actually, I wouldn't belong to any group that would have me as a member.
You know what's kind of disheartening is that guy actually got more followers than we've been able to get for this podcast.
Baby steps.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we need to tell them the spaceship's going to be landing
on
the studio.
I'm not even asking anyone to kill themselves.
Not
just
yet.
Just listen. Not yet. Maybe that's what people are afraid of, is that by the end of it,
exactly.
They will.
Yeah.
The ticking clock is a subliminal, you know.
No, I had to laugh this week. Speaking of politics, though, Joe Biden.
Mm.
What is
Creepy
up with...
Creepy Joe? Oh,
yeah, what
Creepy
is up
Joe
with
Biden?
That?
Did you see that clip, Dom? Dom probably doesn't follow the political stuff too much.
It's freaking
hilarious.
Yeah,
some guy was getting sworn in to a new post, right?
Secretary of Defense, I think.
Secretary of Defense. I didn't even follow it. You know, once you see Biden, you almost lose track of like who's getting sworn in and what that's all about. So Biden is behind the guy's wife. It's a big ceremony. And he's got his hands on it. What, on her
shoulder, like giving her a rub down.
Then he leans in, like with the little.
Like he's kissing her neck almost.
Yeah, almost like Dana Carvey's Italian waiter character from Saturday Night Live. Bellissimo, bellissimo.
It's like, what is he doing? And then on the news, they like found all these old clips. I guess this is a common thing for him.
Oh, yeah, Joe. Joe.
Like he's always touching women and like, you know, he's.
It's creepy. You know, it's so inappropriate and awkward.
It really is.
And she seems so put out. I mean, you just wonder, like, what the hell are people thinking? But I know people like that in just regular life.
Well,
right?
that's what my wife was saying. Some people are just more touchy-feely.
Socially inept is what I call it.
Well, you know, some people want to be touched, some people don't, you know.
And some people don't care if you want to be touched or not.
Yes, but we won't get into that in this podcast. That's for the...
Oh, boy, I'll
tell you.
I don't know whatever happened to, you know, I always thought there was like a base level of manners, and then you realize that, no.
I was watching that. I was like, this is beautiful. It really is.
Biden, he's so creepy. It gives you the willies just watching it, right?
I know, it does.
He's such a moron. It's just incredible. He's vice president.
Is he going to run?
Who's going to take a shot at Obama knowing that Biden steps in?
Exactly.
I mean, it's the best
I would protect him.
It's the best security you could possibly have.
I wonder if that was a strategy.
Oh, it makes you wonder.
It's a great distraction. Just have Joe Biden go touch somebody.
My God.
Well, it's like
draw the attention away from Obama and ISIS and
exactly.
all that.
Miller has a great line on Ash Wednesday. He goes, when you see Biden with the ash mark in the center of his forehead, he goes, it's not Ash Wednesday. He goes, that's where Obama puts his cigarette out.
It was Ash Wednesday this Wednesday.
It was Ash Wednesday, of course.
You giving up anything for Lent, Carl?
Dennis resurrected that joke, as he does once a year.
Yeah.
Am I giving up anything for Lent? You know, Mike, I feel like I've given up so much already.
Yeah, you have nothing left to give up.
Well, maybe. Am I being selfish?
Yes.
I am? Well, what about you? What did you give up for Lent?
Well, I'm thinking about giving up Cavassier.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't drink it, so it would be no great loss.
I was going to say, that'd probably be a big step for you. What about, Dom's not really, Dom did a little Catholic, what do they call the Catholic kid school?
What was it, like the
parochial
CCD
school?
Or something, I would go after school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get confirmed?
He doesn't even
You would remember
know.
That.
Like me.
See, I went to a parochial school, nuns taught me for like 6 years. And hit me with, you know, they would hit you with the rulers and stuff.
Wow, so you did that whole thing.
Oh, my aunt's a nun.
You told me that.
I was brought up strict Catholic.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but it's a farce. Okay? There. Whoa. For all our Catholic listeners.
If that doesn't get some response to our podcast,
yeah, sorry. Will. It's just my opinion. You know what I mean? And
well, you know.
Everyone has their opinion, but, you know,
it's
whatever.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Catholics take it to a whole nother level.
We
Let's
do.
Let's put it that way.
Oh, no doubt about you it. Know? Yeah. I'm a pedestrian now, so I don't really practice anymore.
You know, it's weird. Now, my mom, Italian, and of course her parents, devout Catholics. I know that when I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, that my mom left the Catholic Church and joined the Episcopal Church.
Yep.
And I know that, I gather later in life that it was something to do with the fact that my late father was the product of an affair and not a legitimate marriage, and that the Catholic Church wouldn't recognize their marriage or something.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
My mom kicked over a pew, left in a huff, and went to the church up the street.
Yep. I actually, when I met my wife, she's a Methodist, so we actually got married in the Methodist Church, and I don't know. I like their church. It's more inclusive. It's funny. With the Catholic Church, you know, it's like it's all about forgiveness, but they're so judgmental. If you know, it's such a hypocrisy.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's forgiveness after we pass heavy judgment.
Exactly.
Right. Which, by the way, is my favorite kind of forgiveness.
Me
at least
too.
When, at least when I'm giving it.
You know? Yes. Yes.
Dom, what else is going on? You got anything over there you want to talk about?
What else is going on?
Dom's job is to circulate this podcast among his friends and the younger generation. And what do you guys talk about besides sports, you 18-year-olds?
Nothing.
And the obvious other thing.
Well, I guess I'll just real quick jump back to the whole ISIS thing. It's funny that the UN has a genocide watch program, and they don't count it as genocide because they're not a government, but how can you not realize what they're doing?
Well,
I mean,
you know, something that's interesting, Dom, to that point, is that all these years later, there's still, I'm not going to say a huge population of people, but there's a strong contingent of people who still deny that the Holocaust ever happened. So when you look at that and you look at the evidence of the Holocaust actually happening, it seems to be, I think I passed that off as some kind of human psyche defense mechanism when you just can't get your head around something that you go into abject denial, you know, probably like a lot of the listeners to this podcast do every time they listen to it.
Abject denial.
But, you know, I always think about that as, and it was funny, I remember traveling to Europe with my parents when I was a young kid. I was lucky enough to go to Austria, Germany a few times on combination business ski trips. And my father, late father, who was a medic in Berlin in World War II, he would always tell me going into these German pubs, and I was like maybe 10 or 11 or 12 at the time, he would always say, if anyone asked you where I was during the war, you just tell them that I was stateside. In other words, in the United States.
Right.
And I remember thinking, you know, what's my father talking about? You know, a little bit too much white lightning there, Dad. And sure enough, you'd go into these little pubs, these little German pubs, restaurants, and as soon as they heard my father and gathered his age and the American thing, guys would always ask him, where were you during World War II? So all these years later, the Germans still had a huge hair across their ass about the war. And a lot of them still believe that that never happened, that the whole thing was dreamt up.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. And
because there's on HBO, they just came out with a new documentary on there. It's fascinating. It's all the film from the soldiers that were liberated the camps. So these are films of them as they found the camps. And actually, they hired Alfred Hitchcock to edit the film and produce the film. It's fascinating. And it was just released.
Either seen it or seen bits of it, but it is.
Oh, my God. It is so brutal.
Well, you think about these American soldiers.
Oh, my God. They had no idea what they were walking into.
Well, and already war weary, like these guys worn down physically and emotionally, and then uncovering that, which, I mean, hey.
Unbelievable horrors. Like, you never get over that.
Yeah, every time I see something about that and footage of it, it just kind of, it's like 9/11 on an even grander scale, where every time you see it, it's like you're seeing it for the first time.
Right,
you
exactly. Go, yeah, fascinating.
God,
yeah.
I can't believe.
How did that happen?
You know? How horrific it was. Yeah. Women and children, I mean, and the worst possible deaths and treatment is just unbelievable. Yeah. And like Mike said, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And yet, you draw that parallel, like Mike said, to what's happening today. Maybe we're seeing how it happens. I mean, denial,
yeah. Sure.
Lack of response.
You let that fester.
Some kind of quasi-empathy for the enemy and what, you know, I mean, I saw, who's the little blonde girl that's like the White House press secretary now? Or
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, she's such a ditz. But she was saying the other day how, you know, we're not going to take a military action. We want to get to the root cause. Okay, so America's job in the world now is to do a psychological evaluation and right. treatment program for guys who want to cut other people's heads off and film it. I mean, is this for real?
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to reason with those people.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah we want to find out what the problem is.
What are you
is.
So angry about?
Yeah, we want to find out what...
Let's get to the root of your problem.
We want to find out what's making the fat people eat so much. Not take their food away.
It's kind of scary, man.
It's scary.
And I, you know, I'm scared for you guys, Dom. Yeah. And, you know, my kids, and you know, because you know, me and Carl will be out of here pretty soon.
Oh God! I mean, look, if I survive the next 20 minutes till the end of the show,
you know, you'll be happy.
I count every minute as a blessing now, Mike. It is an interesting thing, though, Dom, and it's one of the reasons guys like you, you know, normally I would say politics or anything like that run in the other direction, but I think more and more I think maybe kids need to get involved and try to make a difference and try, because someone's got to take it over. Someone's got to take over the wheel, and boy, it's dicey times. But the thing that bothers me the most, too, about what's going on now is the whole world is ripe for coalescing and going after these guys. And I think, man, if we had a leader like Reagan now, or I don't know who else, Truman, but if you had a real president, leader, who knew how to lead and bring people together, the time right now is perfect for that.
Because, you know, because when we got into Iraq and stuff, the Europeans were very standoffish about it, other than the English, who are very good allies.
Well, you
but
know
But you
why.
Think about it now. You have Jordan. You have France. They just hit France. Yeah. You know.
Well, the reason Europe was standoffish then, because 9/11 didn't happen there.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And the reason they're on board now is it's Paris.
Things are happening in their backyard.
It's happening everywhere.
Sure.
The Coptic, which I think means Egyptian, right? Christians.
Right.
You know, now it's happening everywhere.
Sure. You know, so all of a sudden it's like, maybe we should do something about this. And now we're not, you know, because we don't, you know, we're complacent about it.
Like, it's certainly an interesting time in history. And I think the other thing that will be very interesting is to see what Netanyahu has to say. When isn't he coming to make the big speech in Congress in the next several days?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Because
baby Netanyahu, he shoots from the hip. He calls him like he sees him. And the way that our country has treated Israel under Obama.
Obama's not a fan.
Is shameful. It's not. He's not a fan. And again, as Miller likes to say, Netanyahu probably figures, good, one less phone call I got to make when it's go time.
That's right.
Yeah, because if Iran gets a nuclear weapon and it's clear we're going to let that happen, this president is going to let Iran get a nuclear weapon. And as Charles Krauthammer, the brilliant Charles Krauthammer, pointed out, when Iran gets a nuclear weapon, the whole world gets a nuclear weapon.
That's right.
Right. Every rogue nation, every terrorist, I mean, it's going to be a suitcase bomb for everybody.
Hey, you want to buy a warhead?
And my money is that Israel ain't going to let that happen.
Well, they stopped it before, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
They bombed, you know, their facilities before when they.
Yeah, and, they had an inkling about that come up in like June or something? Yeah. Iran's latest extension.
They've
been granted by our president. Oh, God. Scary world, man.
It's crazy.
Scary world, scary times. Speaking of which, you know, a lot of things have changed since Mike and I, we're pretty close to the same age, huh?
Yeah, I'm pushing 60.
You know, and having Dom on, I'm always thinking of, like, cultural different things that have changed in the culture since I was, like, his age or younger. And one of, you know, something you don't see a lot anymore, hitchhiking.
Nope, I used to do it all the time.
I know.
That's how I got around when I was
That's
in high school.
That's how we got around.
I remember, hey, right? I want to go to the Nashua Mall. So I would go.
Even know what we're talking about?
I know what you're talking about. It's the guy at thumb, sort of falls over eventually.
Yeah. Never ever see hitchhiker anymore. Yeah.
I started like when I was 7.
Yeah, me too. That's
In
how we got around.
I think my parents were hoping I got, you know, you know, as I remember now, anytime, you know, I would go, hey, Ma, I want to go to the pizza place. Well, hitchhike. And then she would tell me, put on your short shorts. So, you know, now I'm thinking, it almost seems like they wanted something.
Don't want to get pizza sauce on the nice pants.
Yeah, that's right. That what it really was, John? Look at Dom, kid, trying to steer me out of the skid there.
Yeah,
that's what a
Do
nice
Do you want me to
kid.
Steer you back into it, Kyle?
No.
But hey, I never ever thought about being abducted or picked up by the wrong person. In fact, I met lots of nice people hitchhiking.
Hitchhiking now is like Match.com for serial killers.
Exactly.
All right. I mean, don't you tell me the truth. If you see a person hitchhiking,
terrified,
don't you shake your head and go, what the hell are they thinking?
Yeah.
Or
what are you doing?
Here's the two people on the rare occasion you see anyone hitchhiking in this day and age. It's either someone who looks like Charles Manson.
Right.
And you think, God, no one's ever going to pick that guy up. And then you look in your rearview mirror and someone's pulling over. Or it's like a young girl or someone that really, really shouldn't be hitchhiking.
Shouldn't be out there,
and you're thinking to yourself, there's going to be a collision and people trying to pull over.
Right, exactly.
So those are the two hitchhiking groups that I see mostly in this day.
But you don't
age.
See them anymore, you're right.
A lot of different stuff. Fireside chat, you don't hear that a lot anymore. Remember the fireside chat?
I'm not that old.
It sounds creepy now.
It's
right?
The fireside chat.
Fireside chat now, especially in Muslim terms, most likely indicates.
So what's a fireside chat
now? An invitation.
You sit around and light the bong?
It's an invitation to your own fiery death, fireside chat. Yeah, I think that's how that
So do you need to have to speak Islamic to go to the fireside chat now?
Oh, God, I don't know. You know what I'm doing? I'm trying out new material on you guys.
I like it.
Yeah. Did we talk about, speaking of new cultural things, and again, this is something Dom doesn't remember, like payphones.
You're getting quite an education here, aren't you?
Yeah, learning
you
know, a
Dom,
lot
this
today.
Is. Let me tell you a little, you know, this ought to be like a warm father and son moment for our listeners here.
Do you want me to leave the room? Or
let me tell you how things were when I was a kid, Dom. If you called a business, an actual person answered the phone and asked you if they could help you. And then they would actually transfer you, literally take you by the hand and transfer you to the correct department. That must sound odd to you, right?
It sounds like a really nice place to live.
It sounds
That's
like
what
a Twilight
like.
Zone. Yeah, it sounds like Mayberry. It's exactly right. And, of course, what you get now is the automated robotic thing. And my favorite one lately is, I'll just risk the lawsuit, Fairpoint Communications. So you call Fairpoint now, an 800 number to pay your bill, and the first thing you get is the robotic woman, and she goes, okay, let's get started, which I always find is, right?
Yeah. What are we going
to
do?
Well, it implies that you're about to embark on a long journey.
And you are, believe me.
Exactly. No. Yeah. Which is the last fucking thing I want to hear when I'm going into
a
phone call.
A cup of coffee. It's going to be a while.
Okay, let's get started. And believe me, by the time we're done, you'll want to kill me.
Sure.
Except I'm not a real person.
No, it's funny. The 1-900 numbers start exactly the same way.
Let's get started. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not. It's a much quicker call.
Yeah, it's a
though.
Much quicker call, Mike.
Yeah,
you better believe
sorry
it.
Sorry about that.
Little spank the monkey.
Yeah. Whoops. Bye.
So anyways, it's funny. You call this Fairpoint number now, and then she goes, let's get started. And they go, for billing, say billing. So I say billing. And they go, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. And you go, billing.
She thought you said filling.
Right? What do you think I'm saying? Billing. You told me to say billing, and now I'm saying it, and you're telling me you didn't get that. So
there aren't a lot of words that sound
I'm
like
telling
that.
You, you know, anyone listening, you want to try this, you don't believe me, just call the And so you do this like three or four times, billing. I said billing. Billing. So naturally, the natural human response, when you start over-enunciating. So I swear to God now, I'm not even making this up. They have this thing now with the robotic woman. After three failed attempts at trying to understand your word, it says, talk to me like I'm a real person. Honest to God.
Well, they get that from Siri. Do you have an iPhone?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever used Siri before? Like, if you ask her, like crazy questions, like, where can I hide a dead body?
I've asked that question.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, you don't know what Siri is?
No, I don't even know. See how out of it I am?
It's the automation on your phone.
I'm like Doc Watson.
Yeah. You'll ask her, like, robotic woman in your phone, and you can just ask her things. Siri, where can I hide a dead body? And she goes, here's an address of a few dumps around your area.
Serious?
Oh, I'm really? Dead serious.
Yeah. And this is on any smartphone?
On an iPhone.
Oh, yeah, I have a Droid, so I don't have it?
No, you don't have Siri on there. No. Oh, but, you know, and if she'll get pissed off at you.
Then you ask her the normal things, like, oh, where's whatever address, and it gets it wrong.
Yeah, she won't get it. But she can help you hide a dead body.
You're going cross-country, yeah.
Yeah.
And this woman's name is Siri?
Siri,
How's that spelled?
S-I-R-I. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I've never heard of it. I am so out of it. God, I'm a technological dunce. You're going to give us a live thing here, Mike?
Working on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What should I ask Siri?
Ask her if she's heard our podcast. Have you listened to 50 Minutes with Carl Zahn?
Siri, have you listened to 50 Minutes with Carl Zahn?
Looking for 50 Minutes with Carl Zahn.
Close. Get in line, honey.
So that's Siri. She's looking for it.
Get in line.
Siri, you suck.
She's still looking. You know how many people... Siri, do you know how many people are looking for 50 minutes with me? Get in line.
She's not responding to me now. She'll ignore you sometimes.
Really?
But that's Siri anyway.
That's Siri. I'd never heard of it.
But I can't take any requests right now. Please try again in a little while.
Yeah.
She gets pissed off.
I wish I had a nickel for every time I've heard that. She's more like a real woman than I imagined.
So everything's automated now. Our phones, you know, the Fairpoint.
Fairpoint thing was new, and I was taken aback when I first heard it because your natural response is, hey, be careful what you wish for. I mean, you want me to talk to you like a real person?
Yeah, it's going to get ugly now.
But I guess the whole thing is they want you to stop over-enunciating. Right. Even though, I mean, it's just... Honest to God, I think, and I know there's a few businesses that do this and actually hold it up as like an advertising thing that they have real operators.
Well, yeah, it's a big thing now.
It's a big thing now.
I think TD Bank does that. Hey, we actually have people.
Yeah, TD Bank. Like, we can get an actual person.
It's a great selling point, though.
Like the old days.
Right, yeah.
Because it's so frustrating, man. It's awful.
Yeah.
I wonder how many accidents have been caused, you know?
A lot.
Do me a favor, okay, if we have a little pact between the three of us. If I ever die in a head-on collision, have them check my cell phone records to see if I was talking to that Fairpoint woman.
We'll go after Fairpoint.
As it turns out, for the 18 minutes preceding his deadly accident...
His last words were billing.
Billing.
What were Carl's last words? Billing.
I want to come to your office. Where's your office?
Oh, it's a brave new world, isn't it, Carl?
Oh, God.
It's kind of fun sometimes, right?
The other new technological thing I've noticed, which is pretty funny, is saw an ad for one of these high-end, like, Lexus. It's like a $60,000 car, but it's got that safety feature that tells you, like, if you're about to hit something or you're about to be rear-ended, you're about to hit a pedestrian. And they show this guy in the ad that he's, like, driving, daydreaming. He's thinking, did I leave the coffee pot on? And then you hear the thing go, you're about to hit a garbage truck! The guy swears.
Billing!
And then he's like, did I leave the garage door open? Pedestrian! Pedestrian! And then you think.
It's not a bad idea, really.
But I'm looking, I'm going, what the fuck was this guy driving before this car came out? A Sherman tank?
Well, you know, you're on the road every day. People are fucking distracted, though,
Americans,
man.
Finally too broke to pay attention.
Exactly.
Like, looking out the windshield is too much work now. I don't know. You know what's happened? I'm turning into that grumpy old man.
Me too. I love it. I'm going to sit, like this summer, I'm going to sit in my lawn, my Bermuda shorts with knee socks.
Yeah.
And like a wife beater with stains all
and
over it.
And just bitch?
Yeah. Get off my lawn. I'm going to tell
off
them.
My lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, get off the
I
shed.
I think I've earned that right now.
Get off my shed.
Wasn't right, get off Will my Ferrell shed.
Get off the shed.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, I'm like Dana Carvey.
You little bastards.
Dana Carvey's grumpy old
Did you
man.
Watch the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary show?
Actually, Dominic texted me. I was right in the middle of missing the whole thing. It was great, wasn't it?
It was great, yeah.
They actually had some real musicians on it for a change, too.
Like they
Paul
did.
Simon and, you know, of course, their band is great. G. Smith and the Saturday Night Live band, they're awesome.
Yeah, G. E. Smith, despite being such a weird-looking guy.
Yeah, he's a weird dude. Well, he played with Hall & Oates for years, too. He was the guitar player.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, sure.
No, I didn't know that. I know he played with Dylan for a while.
Yeah, he's man, he's that band's
around.
Great.
He's a killer player.
It was cool seeing all those, you know, all the old alum, though, you know?
Well, you forget, or I forgot, till I saw that. 40 years is pretty unbelievable.
That's what I was thinking to myself. 40 years? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm almost dead.
I was surprised, and I don't know why, but I see Miller didn't attend. And
yeah, because he was on there. He was a writer for them, wasn't he?
I think he wrote for them and did the, I think he was one of the first ones to do Weekend Update, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you're right. He did.
Yeah. I think
he wasn't there?
No, he didn't
That's
go.
Weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
We had a nice conversation about the mullet. Back in the day.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, Miller with his mullet.
I had a mullet. I had an 80s mullet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There you go. We all had mullets back
then. It stood out a little bit.
It's like Joe Dirt. It's like the David Spade movie, Joe Dirt.
That was a real good mullet. That was a southern mullet, though. I had more of the Bono U2 mullet from the 80s, you know, so it was semi-cool.
Don't try to get out of it now,
okay,
Mike. You had a mullet.
I did my best. I had a fucking mullet, all right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's like trying to say...
Is the show almost over now?
It's trying to say, like, I had a minor brain disorder. A mullet is a mullet.
You're right,
yeah.
It is.
And it's finally getting so that was far enough back, so it looks weird now, right?
It might come back, you know?
No,
you
I mean, not the mullet, but the whole, like, the way we dressed and
right,
everything
yeah.
back then is
But
finally.
Things are cyclical, you know what I mean? Like, you hear some, even some songs, like, from a few years ago, like The Killers. I don't know if you know that band, The Killers. But they sounded like an 80s band.
The Killers,
but
no.
Yeah, you don't remember The Killers? But they sounded like an 80s band, but the kids don't remember what 80s music was, so they think it's like, wow, this is new, and this sounds genius. But it's already been...
Well, it reminded me how Saturday Night Live, like you said, always great musical performances.
Great.
Was something to look forward
to. So much
to.
Good stuff.
And I remember for a long time at a certain age, I usually made it a point, if possible, of not missing Saturday Night Live. But I also tried not to miss Johnny Carson, so I watched that every night at 11 o'clock for longer than I can remember.
I think what killed the musical guests on Saturday Night Live was Ashley Simpson's mishap with the... the lip syncing. Do you remember that?
Oh, right. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah,
no,
after that, it's like, the band's really playing on this show now?
Yeah. One person ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, that's always the way it happens.
But yeah, it was great. Dom alerted me to it, thank God, because I was missing the whole thing.
Yeah, it's fun.
Bunch of powerhouse guests, right? Yeah. Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Jack
yeah.
Nicholson.
Coming from a younger person, I watched that, and then I started watching the older ones compared to the new ones, and I honestly think that the older ones are so much better.
Oh, the writing's horrible now, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I watched...
It's not your imagination.
There's a lot of genius cast members that were on that.
Just the other night, I watched, you know, the Will Ferrell from 2012. I thought it was going to be hilarious. And it was funny, because Will Ferrell, I think, is hilarious. But it just... They're just not as good as they used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, well, I
that
think...
That old Jeopardy sketch that was on the other night. Yeah, those are great.
Oh, that was great with...
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
who was doing Norm MacDonald as Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. Or Turd Ferguson is the more preferred name.
Who's the guy that got shot by his wife? He was fat. He was
Phil Hartman.
He was awesome.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I mean,
Phil
Hartman
was great.
Also a private pilot, by the way, Phil
Hartman.
Oh, was
he?
Yes, he was.
He was awesome, though. I loved him.
But, well, it's funny. I heard someone talking about the show and Miller talking about Phil Hartman and just about in tears saying, you know, the thing about Phil Hartman was he was such a decent guy.
It's tragic,
he was
man.
A sweetheart of a guy.
When he did Sinatra, it was absolute genius.
God. Yeah. I mean, he was Phil Hartman and his characters, and you talking, Dominic, about that era of
great.
Those guys. I mean, remember Phil Hartman's Frankenstein character?
It's brilliant.
On a talk show, they ask him a question. Oh! and all the guys start breaking up. They can't keep a straight face, you know.
Another one I thought was great was the Chippendales, Chris Farley one.
Oh, my God. With Patrick Swayze. They're both dead now.
Yeah.
The best way to put that was, what was more memorizing, Swayze's body or Farley's ass crack hanging out?
Farley just didn't give a fuck.
He didn't care what people thought. He was
beautiful.
He was great.
He gave all, and he was another one. I mean, God.
You remember that time?
What a loss, you know, these guys. And he was another one, such a sweet kid, such a sweet guy, you know.
Too much too soon, too fast.
Too much too soon, yeah. He loved it. He loved it 100 miles an hour, didn't he?
And then some.
All the way. Well, we're coming up on 50 minutes.
And that was fast.
Yeah. God, maybe we should just make this continue? 52 minutes.
No, we don't want to torture people.
Well, we have to hold ourselves to some kind of standard, but went pretty fast for a show with no show prep. So, Dom, we love having you sit in.
Yeah, great, it's been great.
Yeah, and we'll do it another time. Number 7 coming up next week. As I pointed out to everybody, if you want to get in touch with us, Carl at carlfromnh.com. He's Mike Clark. He's Dominic. Talk to me like I'm a real person.